I think that as humans, we have troubles with being aware of his kingdom. And sometimes we're really aware, and sometimes we're not. And all of us probably would like more awareness. Why aren't we aware? Why aren't we more aware? I think a lot of it has to do with our past. You've heard the saying, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Today's a gift. That's why we call it the present. Well, our history, that's clear, but it's dead. You know, we can see that stuff, but it's dead. And it's all hazy out in front of us. And we're not seeing too good today, right? I mean, just right now is sometimes difficult to perceive what's going on around us and what's going on inside of us, much less anyone else, you know, around us. But I think that our history needs to be opened up in the spirit and presented to the Lord, good and bad. You know, the word has been very rich, and last week started a trend, I think, of the Spirit telling us, you know, to expose some of these things to him, things that we may have kept buried. You know, whether it's a response or a memory or an injury, whatever. Our Father loves us so much. There's nothing too precious to keep from him. You know, there's nothing that precious that we got to keep it from him. He's not going to hurt us. So one area that I want to look at is some of the things in Hebrews. There's some talk about our conscience. So if we could turn to Hebrews 9. See, there's two areas here that I want to talk about, and I hope I can do it well and get through it. See, we have faith for him, but I don't think we really believe all that he is and we are. And that's one area of our lack of awareness. We just don't believe it. We don't believe what the Word says. We don't believe that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, do we? I mean, really. When you look in the mirror, do you see a Son of God seated with Christ in heavenly places? That is indeed who we are. We are one with him. We have been perfected. And we have been made holy, and we are being made holy. And we'll see that in this text. So I wanted to start out in verse 9. You're going to have to read this yourself. We don't have time to go through all of it, so I'm just going to cherry pick what I want. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifice being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. So the people in the Old Testament under law were not able to clear their conscience. And we know that technically we are free from the law. However, we also know that time and time again we may embrace parts of that. And there's many times when we're going along and our conscience will, you know, we'll just feel guilty all of a sudden or condemned. And we don't really know what, by what. But there's something there, and, you know, we repent, we go before the Lord, and hopefully we allow Him to take care of it. It's just part of life, I think. Now let's skip down to verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Well, it talks about He offered His own blood up, and He's going to cleanse our conscience. And this says from acts that lead to death, but if you look at the margin, some of your Bibles will say from useless rituals. That's right. Dead works, useless rituals. Now, what are useless rituals? Whatever crutch we're using to feel like we're justified before the Lord is a useless ritual. We cannot do anything to justify ourselves. He did it all. Without our consent, mind you. Right? He didn't ask us. We wouldn't have been able to come up with the right answer anyhow. That's right. We wouldn't have had enough sense. I'm really concerned about the useless ritual in our life. You know, we think, well, this kingdom leaven is going to happen more if I read every day for an hour. Or if I attend two Sunday services instead of one. You know, maybe some of you hit another service on Sunday. I've done that before. You know, hit an early service then come to this one. It's kind of fun. But if we think that we're actually creating something, like creating some better thing for ourselves, I think we're mistaken. You know that one scripture, the kingdom is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Put in my terminology, it's not what we consume, it's what flows through us. So it's not how much we take in or how much we do. It's just relaxing and realizing who we are before Him, how precious we are, and that lofty state He has placed us. There is nothing in this world that can resist the power that we have. The power that raised Christ from the dead and established Him in the heavenly places has been given to us. Now let's go over to Hebrews 10. That's not very far. And we'll start at verse 10. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It says we're holy. That's beautiful.
It also in my text says once for all.
Once for all. Verse 13 says, since that time He waits for His enemies to be made His footstool, because by one sacrifice He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So He said we are holy, And now he's saying we're being made holy. So it's the working of the leaven. I mean, in his sight, we're there. But in our reality, maybe it isn't reality, but in our experience, we're going through this stuff that's creating his holiness within us. It's like building up a muscle, sort of. There's a little bit of work to it. But if we're working on the work, then it's not a good thing. If we're resting in the work, that's a good thing. So we realize that it's not us trying to get wound up and polish ourselves up, but just allowing the leaven to work through us, just allowing it to flow. Now there's some other... Okay, now verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. That's just beautiful. So we have the connection, and as we come to him and offer ourselves to him, things are going to come up. When you know, if you put some kind of spice in some water and you put it on your range top, and you put the heat on it, very soon you can smell that all over the place, right? Because that activity brings it out. And the activity of the kingdom in us is going to make things come out. Things we don't want to look at sometimes. And don't avoid it. Just take it immediately to him and lay it before his feet. I was asking the Lord when I was out in the water, why aren't I more aware? And he started pointing out some things from my past. So I think I missed the next set of waves because I was busy. I was busy working on myself. But it just surprised me. So now let's go over to Hebrews 12. You know what 11's about? That's all about faith, right? So he's talking about our positioning and what he's created for us in 9 and 10. And then 11 talks about faith. And then we go over to 12, and he starts out with the word therefore. Whenever you see that word therefore, it's tying in what came before that. He's saying, because of all this. Okay, so therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, where is that cloud? We're not aware. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. So he mentions a couple of items here. Two classifications: things that hinder and sin that entangles. I imagine that most of us probably have the second category pretty well under control. But what about the things that hinder? How do you define those? It's not black and white, is it? You know, we know with sin, if it's not based in faith, it's sin, right? That's an easy one. But the things that entangle, where are those? What are those in each of our lives? I can't tell you. That's something to ponder before him. Look into your own heart. Because we all have those things. Weights. Weights are good when you're fishing or if you're pumping iron, but not good for much else. Well, there was verse 8, you know, says something cool. He says, he gets into discipline there, but he says, and I thought this was so cool, if you are not disciplined, and then it says in parentheses, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children, not true sons. But what he's saying is, everyone's going through discipline. So you're not, if you have any doubt in your mind, whether you're an illegitimate child or a true son, just discard that because you're a true son. Because every one of us are going through discipline. And discipline is not punishment. It's training. It's discipling. That's maybe a better pronunciation. It's training. You know, the disciples walked with the master for several years. He didn't punish them. At least there's no record of it. He was training them. He let them get into trouble, and then he showed them. He gave them opportunities, which they screwed up. They're a bunch of knuckleheads. But then all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit indwelled them, these guys were different people. They were another story completely, as are we. In verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, is that for by and by when we die, or is that today?
No.
Yeah, it's now. So that's exposing those things. It's amazing how, with such great clarity, I can see things 25 or 30 years ago, and they trip me up. I just want to, I don't want to covet those memories anymore. I want to just expose them to the Lord and be done with it. And whatever thrill or emotion that worked up, it's dead. The beautiful part of this chapter brings us back to who we are, our real state, and that starts in 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the saint, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That I don't have the revelation to tell you the significance of every one of those things. Let God open that up to your spirits. I think it would be excellent if all of us read this whole text and meditate on that. He's saying this is where we are. God, open our awareness. And he can when A, we believe, and B, we clean up. It's a two-sided deal. Now let's go back in history and look at 2 Kings or something there. I just thought it was so cool. It's maybe not that significant, but it's in chapter 6 and verse 8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? Isn't that classic? When something goes wrong, we blame the ones around us. Blame and shame and guilt are brutal tools, and they're so used in the church of this age. God's bringing that to an end. He's bringing that to an end. None of us, my Lord the King, this is verse 12, said one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who was in Israel, tells the king of Israel your very words that you speak in your bedroom. I wonder how he knew that. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what should we do? The servant asked. Okay, the servant was aware on the earthly plane of what was going on. It's really easy for us to see the problems and the trouble and the negative. You know, it's easy to see what's wrong with a situation or a person. But it's the kingdom that sees the other side. Problems are not problems, they're opportunities for God to work. The problem in that individual last week is not a problem. It's an opportunity for you to love them. It's an opportunity for you to speak the kingdom. So what happened? Verse 16, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This is the true state of things. This is the true state of our life. See what he's done for us? It's so fantastic. Remember that dude who came to Jesus and he said, I forget what he said, I couldn't find it, but he said, what do I need to do? And he said, I've kept the Ten Commandments my whole life. You know, I've done this, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. And Jesus was interesting in his reply. He replied to him right in the same vein the dude was coming from. He said, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Oh, it was a rich young ruler? And, you know, I would have expected some spiritual thing, but the guy was related to Jesus in the law, and Jesus just handed it right back to him. It was beautiful. So obviously, we can't do it, right? Whatever we do, it's never going to be enough. So I think maybe we should just rely on him. And you remember in John 5, Jesus said to the guys, it's in 39, I'm just going to paraphrase it. He said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you'll find eternal life. But these scriptures point to me, and you won't have anything to do with me." So let's not get distracted by the things that are elements of our worship and all that. Let's just go to him. You can read scripture 5 hours a day, or you can listen to him for 5 minutes. I'm not saying it's bad to read scripture. He says somewhere in the Old Testament, I think it's Psalm 51, he says you didn't want sacrifice, you wanted an ear that would listen or something like that. It's not the hoops. It's his presence. Being in his presence. Yes. His presence is always with us. But sometimes we have to put the brake on and push out all the distractions and just listen. I encourage you to do that. Thank you. Bless the word to our hearts. Thank you. Amen.